Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another day God has spared us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We're located at 5883 Highway 155 North, where our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin J. Jones. Our co-founder is Archbishop U.W. Smith. And we are so excited that you have tuned in and that you are in the building. Amen. To study the Word of God today, we thank God for what He has in store for us this day. We had an awesome time on last week, and we pray and we know that we're going to have a great time today. So we're going to open our Bible study with a word of prayer from Pastor Ann. Give her a hand of come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This noonday Bible study. We're excited about what God is getting ready to do and
thank
what
you,
He
Lord.
Is going to reveal to us
thank
in the
you,
Spirit.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
During this hour.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
glory
you, Lord.
To God.
Thank
Father,
you, Lord,
we bless you and we
thank
honor
you, Lord,
you
thank
and we glorify you. We magnify your name, Lord. You are so worthy
thank
of the
you,
praise
Lord.
And the honor and all
yes,
the glory, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God, for just being God all
yes,
by yourself,
yes,
Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for
thank
supplying
you.
All of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ
yes,
Jesus. Thank
yes.
you, Lord God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah,
thank
hallelujah
you,
Lord.
Lord
God.
Thank,
thank
you,
Lord God, for your
thank
peace.
You,
thank you for your joy, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above anything we could even ask or think about, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we are a blessed generation.
Thank
Lord
you, Lord
God.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord God, that we are royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Hallelujah. And so, God, today we just give you glory. Today, Lord God, we just give you praise.
Thank you,
Lord. Today, Lord God, hallelujah,
you,
we
Lord.
Just bless your
thank
name,
you,
Lord God. For the word that is going to come forth on today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost
thank you,
that
Lord
will
Jesus.
Bring your people
thank
into
you,
this day.
Lord thank
God.
You, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We pray that we'll be blessed as
thank
we leave
you,
this place, oh God, by your word and by
thank
your
Lord.
Anointing and
thank
by
Lord
your
Jesus.
Power. Right now, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God,
thank
for the
Lord.
Teacher today, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, for pouring out your
thank
word
you, Lord,
through
Jesus.
The teacher
thank you, Lord,
on today, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you.
Thank
we
you,
glorify
Lord.
You, Lord. And bless each and
thank
every
you,
person
Lord,
that is on the call today, on the line.
Yes,
bless
Lord.
Those that are in-house.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank
we
you,
bless
Lord.
You. We honor you.
Thank you,
as
Lord.
As we come in.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Thank
with
you,
lifted
Lord.
Hands.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Give God glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Give him praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Today. In
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A little song has been in my mind all morning. And you may not know it, but if you do, just join me. I believe God. I believe God that it should be just like He said. Trust and obey. Believe Him and say, I believe God. Come on, join. I believe God. I believe God. That it should be just like He said, trust and obey, believe Him and say, I believe God. Come on, I believe God. I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. That it should be just like He said, trust and obey. Believe it and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, that it should be just like He said, trust and obey, believe Him and say, I believe God. Come on, clap right hand for me. Amen, amen. We got to trust him. We got to believe him. Because if he said it, by George, it's coming to pass. My mama said you can take it to the bank. Amen, amen. Come on and clap your hands one more time as we, amen, begin, amen, and study the book of Romans. And this book has about three different sections. The first section is from chapter 1 to 7, where Paul prays for the saints at Rome and expresses his desire to see them. And then we have, this is this chapter. Just breaking down this chapter. And from verse 8 to 15, the gospel way of justification by faith for the Jews and the Gentiles. And then verse 16, 17, the sins of the Gentiles set forth, and that's 18 through 32. So we already went through where Paul is expressing his desire, amen, to be with the saints at Rome. And two things out of this from verse 1 to 7 is in these verses, the privilege of the Christians. They are beloved of God, and they are members of the body which is beloved. And the other thing is the duties of the Christians is to be holy, and hereunto they are called to be saints. These are the apostles' salute by wishing them grace to sanctify their soul and peace to comfort their heart as springing from the free mercies of God that's reconciled Father and all believers and are coming to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from verse 8 to 15, we talked about we must show love to our friends, not only by praying for them, but by praising God for them. And now that's something really, really, really different from what we were accustomed to. We'll pray for people, but will we praise God for them? there's a difference. So he wanted to be able to pray for them, and so as in our purposes, so is our desire that we must remember to say, if the Lord's will. So we always keep in mind that we don't say we're gonna do something; we always say if the Lord's will, because our heart desire is for God's will to be done. And we know it sounds like a cliche sometimes, but the safest place you can be is in the will of God. Because whatever is in his will, and that's why when the scripture said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you could ask for what you will. Because if his word is in you and you in him, whatever you ask gonna be his will. So his will has to be done. He can't refuse his will. And that's why Bishop Kevin is even preaching right now, speaking. And even the message on Sunday was to I'm your pusher, but you got to speak it. And how you push is you got to speak it out according to his word. It's got to be spoken. And so we've got to make sure that we speak the word of God. And so we got to be in the will of God. So our journey is made prosperous, and otherwise, according to the will of God, we should readily impact to others what God has trusted in us. So whatever God has put in us, we should always be ready to share. Yes, ma'am.
So, like you were saying and reading there, for some things we probably don't have to say if it be your will, because if he says his will that we pray for one another, and maybe, you know, one of the saints, or may not be a saint that says, you know, I need prayer, but can you pray for me? And, well, on that a case like that, we shouldn't have to stop and ask, well, let me see, if God, if it be your will. You know, so some things we know that it's his will,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's like Bishop Kevin was saying in the message the other night. He was saying that if God lead him to ask you to do something, why you say you got to go pray about it? So if God is putting on his heart as your leader, trusted leader, to say, I need you to do thus and so, what's there to pray about? And so we use that as an excuse sometimes not to do what God wants us to do because it don't line up with our preference.
Go ahead.
When you had said that example, you know, sometimes I'm just thinking that's how miracles occur. Obedience. So I was thinking of the Jesus at the wedding at Cana, and the first, you know, the public a miracle. But the thing about it, he came to that wedding, but you know, he's telling his mother it may not be his time, and she said, whatever he asked you to do, do it. Well, then he switched positions from an attendant to the wedding to someone in authority. She was saying that they should pay attention to. So, but he didn't ask them to do anything they couldn't normally do. He didn't ask them to turn the water to wine or whatever. He did their normal thing as these attendants was to fill the water jug. And so that's all he asked them to do. He said, go fill these water jugs. And so they went on and did it. So a lot of the things that even in our leadership, that if they see something in us, and they ask us to do it, you may be a little apprehensive, especially if it's something you haven't done before. But these men were stealing water jugs. That was their duty in that household anyway, so it wasn't anything that they should have to say, well, let me go see. I don't know you. I can go pray about it. You know, but, you know, that was their regular thing to do anyway.
And when God speaks to you, it may not be in that same element, but it's something you did before. You may not have done it in that level or that environment, but it's something you have done before. Because God is not going to call on something out of you until he put it in you.
Amen.
God ain't going to call nothing out of you that he didn't put in you. So if your leader sees something that God has placed in you, it's in there. So all the thing is now you got to grab the faith and say, okay, God, the only reason why you gave me this assignment because you know I'm able to do it. God ain't crazy. God ain't crazy. You got to understand, God is not crazy. God knows everything. Everything. And so if we in our own little pea-brain mind know some stuff, God knows everything. And then he's not there's no mistake in God. There's no mistake. So everything is where it's supposed to be. The timing is supposed to be. It may not seem that way to us, but it ain't because God that made a mistake. We might assume something, but God had his perfect timing in everything. And so we got to be careful of trying to put God in a box. He's too big for that. And you don't want a God that you can put in a box. You don't want a God that you got to pay for. You want a God that if he goes somewhere, you got to pay. You have your car as your God. If you don't make that payment, you got to go clean. You don't want a God like that. But we got this big old God who can just say a word. God Almighty. And things begin to happen in your face. And so we got to understand who God is. And so Paul is expressing to the Roman church and his heart desire out of all, and Paul had a passion. And, you know, when he was killing Christians, he's doing it with passion. And like we say, if it's not in you, it's got to be in you. Paul God can use it, but sometimes he uses it for something different. But it's in there. So the same fervor and same tenacity that Paul had when he was killing a Christian, he didn't change. He just changed sides. My mama said he just changed partners. Right? So now he's doing it in the name of Jesus instead of the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same, but he didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But he really did it in the name of Moses, really, because
yeah, the
law of Moses. And so, so Paul is expressing to them how we got to do whatever we do. He's saying, make sure you do it in the will
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we do, we want to do
mm-hmm.
the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we do, because that's why we exist. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He puts treasure in this earthen vessel
mm-hmm.
for us to be able to operate, for us to fulfill
mm-hmm.
promises that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. God made promises
mm-hmm.
that got to be fulfilled. And guess who's going to
mm-hmm.
do it with?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it comes to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use us. And
mm-hmm.
so we got to make sure that we're focused on doing the will of God. And so we come down to what where we are, verse 16, and it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation." And not only that, the gospel keeps you. For Paul was expressing that his confidence is. He's expressing his full assurance in the power of the gospel to accomplish two things. The first thing is to bring about saving faith for sinners. Through the faith of sinners, they can be saved. Then to bring about sanctifying the faith for the saints. Through faith, a righteous person may have life. And so, if you're righteous, you're still gonna need faith. In order to please God, what Hebrew says is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So we have to have faith. And so Paul is making sure he gets, like we said on last week, getting the foundation laid. Faith is your foundation. If you don't have that, you're going to fall.
Right.
You're going to be on sinking sand. You're going to be like the man who built a house on sand. When the storm comes, you're going down. So you have to have faith. So we have to make sure that we increase our faith daily. And the reason why I say increase your faith because when Jesus did a lot of miracles and the disciples were he said, "Oh ye of," and you know some people say, "Well, he said if I have a faith the size of a mustard seed." He ain't trying to tell you that that's all the faith you need to have. He's just saying if it comes to a point, he's just trying to show you the difference of how big faith is, no matter how small you got, compared to what you're looking at. That's what he's saying, but we get things mixed up. Oh, I just need a little faith. No, we need to increase our faith daily. We need to make sure we increase our faith. And if we don't do it intentionally, God would allow some stuff to come up. So you can get intentional about increasing your faith. Got to be intentional about it. So,
sound because on that it's the power of God for salvation only unto them who believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not that I guess power of God. Unto salvation, but it says for those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because the gift of God is for everybody.
It's out there.
Okay. Now I can give you a gift card with $1 million on it. But if you keep that in your drawer and do not go use it, you still don't have $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You got the gift card. But you still broke. And it was worth $1 million. The death of Jesus on the cross is worth billions and trillions of dollars, right? But if we don't accept it and then apply it, it has no value.
To you?
To you. Not that it don't have value.
Right.
Because the gift card has value.
Mm-hmm.
But to you, it has no value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the faith of God.
what is able to bring you now into King ain't the sonship, but if you don't accept that,
mm-hmm.
you don't believe in your heart, you
mm-hmm.
confess with your mouth, you can't
mm-hmm.
believe. So,
mm-hmm.
so think about people who have the gift in their hands and don't apply.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the gospel that Jesus loves you,
mm-hmm.
that he died for you. But then they don't accept.
Mm-hmm.
I can handle this myself. I can do this myself. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have faith, and your faith is going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, who you are, no matter what level of
mm-hmm.
faith you have, it's going to be tested to get you to the next place.
Right.
And that's all God tests you for, to get you to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
And he tests you to make you fall, to make you backslide.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, he's trying to get you closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is expressing that this faith, the insurance of this faith, believing this faith, accomplish these two things, that your faith would be built up to let you know that your sin can be forgiven. And then, as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you have to live by faith,
mm-hmm.
not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Any comments? Comments? No comments? Amen. So let's go to verse 17 and 18.
Okay.
Elder Davis.
Okay.
17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, we have to go back to 16 to pick up that it is the power of God
mm-hmm.
unto salvation
mm-hmm.
to all that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's taking on a step further that he's including the ones who are into unrighteousness, who's not doing the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the power of God unto salvation
mm-hmm.
is the word that you must believe. That's the key word. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the theme throughout the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What must I believe? I must believe, first of all, that I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I must believe that I need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, you must believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That it says the power of God unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't necessarily say that everyone that believeth is going to receive salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain conditions. The first one I just stated is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believing that I am a sinner and I need to be saved, and Jesus is the only one that can save me.
Mm-hmm.
The angels that was in heaven and they got kicked out,
mm-hmm.
they believe in God, but they don't trust God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't love God. I believe there is a God. In fact, I know there is a God,
mm-hmm.
but that God is not my God.
Mm-hmm.
So now God is saying he's distinguishing some of the characteristics of not receiving this power of salvation, unrighteousness. And not believing in God.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't go to heaven or believe in God with the unrighteousness
mm-hmm.
That's involved. When Lucifer got kicked out of heaven in Ezekiel 28,
mm-hmm.
he said he was perfect in all his ways
mm-hmm.
until iniquity was found in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God didn't create iniquity in him
mm-hmm.
because God said he was perfect. If you're perfect, God wouldn't, there wouldn't be no room for iniquity.
Right.
But he came up with that on his own out of the depth of his heart. He said five times, I'm going to exalt my kingdom above the kingdom of God. And so when God kicked him out of heaven, he put him down here with us. See, when he was in heaven, he didn't have a tempter. He had nobody trying to influence him. But when he came down here, we have a tempter. That's why God is so gracious unto us. That's why God gave us his word, and all we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is this. First of all, that we are sinners. You know, based upon what the word of God said, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we and people say, well, if I had been Adam, I wouldn't have did that. Yes, we would have, because we were made of the same material. That's why God hold us all. Sin is passed down from man to man. That's why we say we have one man sin got us in the mess, but another man's obedience got us out of it, gave us a way out of the mess.
That's right.
But it's up to us as to whether or not we're going to receive it, whether or not we're going to accept it, whether or not we're going to do it. God's not going to twist our own arm. He's not going to hypnotize us. He's not going to shine flashy stuff in our eyes. It's a free will thing, just like he gave Adam and Eve.
Right.
And we still have that free will thing. God's saying is now, it's available to every man that believes. Start building on that faith, believe like you're saying, by building on that faith. Well, God, in Romans 12:3, say God gives every man the measure of faith. Abraham was considered a father of faith because he took his little faith and he just went with God. And kept going. That's what we have to do here to get God to move from being able to give us salvation. And Ephesians 2:8 says it is the grace of God through faith and that no man should boast. So when we look at this scripture, God is showing us that unrighteousness and iniquity and all this stuff that we get into that came from us, not from God, is what will make God not give you that, make that salvation available unto you. And because of what man has gone through from the garden to now, a lot of times when we go through stuff, God doesn't do it, but God lets us know that you can get in some stuff on your own. In the old church, they used to pray. They took that church chair and bring it out in the middle of the floor, and one deacon would fall down on one knee and pray that deacon's prayer. And I used to wonder, what's the chair for? I come to realize later that it was a symbolism that you can fall or make mistakes easily. It's like getting out on your knees. But when you get on some problem you get into, you're going to need somebody to help you get up. That you can't do it on your own. But that chair represented that I can't get up on my own by falling. This is what God is all about. So that we can do it. Other people can see it. And see that God was God who did it. That God did it for them, it for me. So to sum up this, God is saying that, showing us what some of the things that we get into that will cause you not to receive salvation. Some things that we get into after we receive salvation that can dilute or pour water in our Kool-Aid, that weaken it, that makes you not as strong as doing what God wants us to do. Pray the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I think that is helping us to be able to see that God is saying there's no respectable person. He don't have no respectable person. Also, Elder Davis was talking about you can't believe it, but that don't mean that you're going to receive it. But the key to that is, a lot of people believe in God, believe that God exists, but they don't believe that the Son is the one that died on the cross for their sins. But once they believe that in their heart, then they are saved. But folks that just believe in God, that's where the problem comes in at.
Yeah, on that 18 and 19, I have written down here, as we were saying, that Paul here, I mean, some Bibles say the unrighteousness of man suppressed, and some say the hold in, and some, but, you know, I was saying, well, that's the press, meaning they held down or to hold down the unrighteousness in their vessels. So though I'm talking in general, Paul was doing that at first, and as Pastor Buster said, it's going to be narrowed down to two different groups or two different things. But he was talking in general at first about all mankind. Mm-hmm. So Paul, he narrows the occasion down, and then because this is going to allow him, you know, Paul is going to allow him to gently slip into his forthcoming argument. Mm-hmm. So he goes back to what they really know about God before they covered it up in sinful vessels by worshiping idols and whatever.
Okay. Awesome.
So then verse 18 and 19 is a general charge where he's saying that God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For this truth about God is known to them instantly. They know the truth, but they push it away. Because the devil has more faith in God than some of us. Because they know God exists. They don't have no doubt. Because the Bible says demons
believe and
trump. Believe, but they have to tremble. But we at a place where we don't have to tremble. When we believe, we are refreshed. When we believe, we are restored. When we believe, our hope is built up. And so. Heaven, what's so good about this thing is that we didn't choose him. He chose us. Out of trillions and billions of people in the world, he chose us. We could be, oh my God. It terrifies me to think we could be one of those people who there's no salvation for us. But look at you now. Oh, my God. We got reason to shout every day, even we don't have a dime in our pocket. Somebody says, he's nothing doing another thing for me. He already done enough. If nothing else happens, he chose us to be his son. Oh, my God. Whew. That tops everything. So the salvation that is granted to us has nothing to do with us. It's all about God. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
And the love of God is so great that he decided to let his son die for us. Those ones right there. And John said, I saw a number that no man can know.
Jesus.
And I'm glad. Woo, glory to Jesus. I'm glad I'm in the number.
Hallelujah.
No man can number, but these are they. Woo, they went through great trials. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so when you think about God has chosen you, because your faith ain't about you're so good that you got faith. You're so good that, no, it's the mercies and the grace of God that we can believe God. Because some folks just can't. It's not given to them. It's not given to them. Oh, my God. But it's given to us.
It's
given to us. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No matter what happens, we win. I think about the life of Lazarus. All he had was some sores.
He was at the rich man's gate, but all he had was swords. His mission in life was to be a witness in front of the rich man's house with some swords. Where God allowed the dogs to come and to lick his wound. But all he had was swords. He wasn't in a castle. He didn't live in a big old house. Live on the streets. But when the time has expired, rich man diabetes. They call him rich man. They ain't say diabetes, right? They call him rich man. He looked over and saw Lazarus and said, oh, let's change place. So it doesn't matter what happens on this side. Because it can't compare with eternity.
Hallelujah.
You can't fathom how long is eternity compared to, even if you live 100 years, and that's a long time to be alive. If you live 100 years, how could you compare that with eternity? So when we stress about stuff in this time that we're going to live in, is it really worth it? When you really look for a true perspective, that's why the Bible says, seek those things which are. Oh, my God. So our faith can't be in these things that here, because things that are seen are what? Temporal. Everything you see right now got a time stamp on it. Even our body has got a time stamp on it because we can see it, right? But the spirit that we can't see physically is everlasting, is eternity. The spirit in every man is eternal.
Yeah.
Even the ones who are not going to live with Christ, their spirit's still eternal. Hallelujah. So our faith got to be in Christ Jesus. We all are so blessed to know that God has chosen us.
Glory.
He has chosen us, and I'm glad about it.
Hallelujah.
Any witness out there? Amen. I'm glad about He chose me. I was on my way to hell. And so a lot of times I said my mama prayed, but He chose me. He did. Amen.
Amen.
Any other comments?
Hear about the word of God. We can't if we don't accept the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to accept God.
Yeah,
because the word is our roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
It's our guide.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Lord is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And even that, knowing the promises that God has for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, are in the word. You know, I was looking here one thing to say, like, the faith, in order to accept, you know, it takes faith to accept God's word, because we must live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think about it, just the roadmap of living from day to day, the word tells you how to live,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if we would just trust what the word says, then we know how to live,
mm-hmm.
you know, because otherwise we're going to do what we want to do,
mm-hmm.
and in doing
right.
what we want to do, you know where that's going.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That's a bad road.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
So the word is so important to just trust the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seek His face. You say we have to grow daily, be built up on our most holy faith,
mm-hmm.
and that's because we're in the word. That's
mm-hmm.
how we're built up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, for me, the season that we're in makes me only want the word more.
Mm-hmm.
Because now,
mm-hmm.
as I read the word, I hear the word,
mm-hmm.
there's so much being revealed when you think in terms, like I said, when how you could say that there's so much darkness around,
mm-hmm.
that knowing the word is telling us that, you know, in spite of all of that, we win.
Mm-hmm.
We win.
Yeah, we win.
So,
that's right.
Like, little.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay.
To take it back off of what you said about the word, but what we have to realize is that
there's a God down here, the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4 says the gods of this world
mm-hmm.
has blinded the eyes mm-hmm. of those who have not received the marvelous light.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 John 5 and 19 says, we know that we belong to God,
mm-hmm.
but the whole world lies in wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what God is saying to us, we are his representatives.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, mm-hmm. we had not received
right.
the light. We knew people who were saved and, you know, like mm-hmm. our grandparents or somebody else that was
mm-hmm.
In the family, in the neighborhood. They were representing God. Now we are God's representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So as we saw other people, God do things to other people,
mm-hmm.
then God is looking for us, for other people to see God doing things for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There were times when some of us was in nightclubs, up on the table,
mm-hmm.
back and doing everything as those persons say that you're big enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
But God somehow did something that got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he knocked you off your horse or knocked
mm-hmm.
you off the table
mm-hmm.
or you push you off the bridge,
mm-hmm.
but God somehow got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks be unto God, we are one of those, like Pastor was saying, we are one of those
mm-hmm.
that God had already, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, nobody comes to me except the Father give them to me.
Right.
And so we were some of those that God gave to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but the devil hadn't blinded their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in Mark 4 and 18 that also in Isaiah 1 and 16, I have been anointed to open the eye to give sight to the blind.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about the physical blind. He's talking about the spiritual blind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those who couldn't see
mm-hmm.
and those who couldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks be unto God that I don't know if somebody prayed for us
mm-hmm.
or somebody did something in our eyes
mm-hmm.
that made us say, you know what, this driving up and down the road, drunk driving like
mm-hmm.
I used to do, that's
mm-hmm.
not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kill myself or somebody else with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it was the effectual prayer of the righteous that
mm-hmm.
some grandmother or some deacon or some priest, somebody prayed for me
mm-hmm.
that caused God to say, okay, bring him on in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I was in the street, I was enjoying the street till I got broke. You know,
mm-hmm.
until my wife told me to get out and do this. Sleep in the other room and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing about the power unto salvation,
mm-hmm.
the power of God. Somebody showed us something, and now it's our turn to show somebody else. It may be somebody on the job. It may
mm-hmm.
be somebody on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It may be somebody in the dollar store or Kroger or Walmart
mm-hmm.
that you know you never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You probably never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of kind word. You may
mm-hmm.
say a kind word to somebody, and they may tell them to push you out.
Mm-hmm. But
you're still going to keep doing it.
Still doing it. Mm-hmm. Still do it. That's right.
If God can deliver me, I know he can. Think about when we are as people doing what we do, it's those little things I think that we feel that we're involved in. I think that's only God opening our eyes to say, I've got so much more for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for you, but it's for you to share with others so that you
mm-hmm.
can
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the word that delivers them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, because I walked up to them and I spoke to them and I touched them, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they were delivered. But as I shared the word with them, the word is delivering them. That's the faith that's being
mm-hmm.
built
mm-hmm.
For them, because now they're hearing word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
that's God's way of saying, okay, what he's done for me,
mm-hmm.
he can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you don't have to stay where we are in this
mm-hmm.
wretched state.
Right.
So.
Amen. That's great.
You can't live without the word. And, you know, there's a reason why these are called testaments.
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody has an estate. They leave a testament. And in that, we have benefits, right? We are heirs to that. And so when you went to know what your inheritance is, you got to read the testament to know what's in there. And so as children of God now that we know him, we have to, that's why we got to study this to show ourselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
Not only so we can help somebody else, but so we can get help. Because
mm-hmm.
we got to lay aside every day. And so this word, not only is it a testament, it is also a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God tells us that we overcome by two things. Mm-hmm. The blood of the Lamb and the what?
What about testimony?
And so if we have to have those two things. Testimonies are in here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we can face in today,
mm-hmm.
it might look different, mm-hmm. but the basis of it,
mm-hmm.
you can find it in here. And you find it in here, and you go to God about it. You have something you can go by and say, okay, this happened to Jacob. This happened to Esau. This happened to whatever. So let me apply that. Or let me not do what Esau did and give away my birthright based on them being hungry. So we can we learn from and overcoming is learning. It's not necessarily being you done kill somebody. No, you done kill some of the flesh in you, and now you done understand some stuff. So now you have a better understanding. You overcome, right? We look at overcoming as something different sometimes. We think, you just came to a battle. No, the battle is that now you got a better understanding. That the way I see things, I don't see it no more. That if God don't answer my prayers this way, that don't mean God didn't answer my prayer. If he didn't answer the way I want him to, that means that he didn't answer my prayer. No, he's going to answer your prayer. Or he's going to change your mind about what you've been praying about. So he'll change your mind and your perspective on what you thought was important. And you're going to say, like Paul went, what, three times? Take this thorn from me. I mean, I prayed for how many people Paul done worked miracles for?
Mm-hmm.
Here he is asking three times. And God said, no, you're going to stay with this. You're going to keep this because I don't want you to get a high above yourself. Because too much is given, much is required. And I'm going to reveal some stuff to you that if you don't be careful, you think you're bigger than me. Remember when he was on the island, shipwreck?
Mm-hmm.
And the folks say, you a devil. Then after that, they say, oh, no, you a god.
Yeah.
Now, he has to know that, hey, ain't God. So all this stuff that I'm going to reveal to you, and we got to be careful. God will open some stuff up to us, and, I mean, it's mind-blowing. But if we don't be careful, we start raising ourselves. I'm the prophet of the house. I'm the big one now. No, we are nothing. That's a wafer. But he just, we're gone. And so God, Paul, knowing all of this, he kept himself humble. Because God just did some work through Paul. He did some great things. But because of that, God said, I'm going to put a thorn in your flesh to keep you humble. And it wasn't a mystery. It wasn't no fine print on why he did it. God told him why he did it.
I talked to a young lady, and I was telling her, I said, if God is operating in you in your brokenness,
mm-hmm.
because you had several things that were going on, I said,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do when he operates when you're healed?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think, sometimes I think he has to keep you like that because even though you're broken, you still operate to a higher standard, and you still do the things that you need to do, but what about when he heals you and you're no longer broken? And she was like, I mean, I said it, but I wasn't thinking about it when I said it. You know, I know he was using me because she had a lot of issues or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
I was like, I said, I see you like this and you're doing this, 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 this.
And most people would be, you know, I'm on the floor, I'm broken, I'm not going to do anything or whatever. But I know the way he's using you, he has greater things for you. So if you're operating in brokenness, and this is the way you do it, I'm like, this is the way you do it. What we gonna do when he heals you? Because we know this is coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes his will should be our will, you know. I want you to take this on. No, you don't want me to take this.
Mm-hmm.
This is so you still operate the way I need you to operate. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, posture is your business.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be focused. The right posture.
Yeah.
And the right posture, a lot of times, is like this.
Man.
Down on that knees, somebody said, knee bone back. Go down on the knees. That's the right posture to do. Amen.
Some of you that been here at the light for a long time remember Jermaine Copeland that wrote the prayers that avail much, that book. And we used to have, when I was in charge of intercession, I used to have her here every year, not at this location, but the other location, have her with us every year. She wrote all those prayer books, and she wrote all those prayer books because her son David, was something was going on with him. So she kept praying. She kept writing the prayer book. David got delivered. After some years, David got delivered and started being with her. He started coming with her when she was doing her messages. She told me one day, she said, "Dog, I don't know what to do with myself now. David done got delivered." So just David being in bondage kept her going all them years and had her write all those books, leather bags, hard bags, soft bags, and all of them was on prayer, praying for everything. She had them listed.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer that avails much. Mm-hmm.
So see how God put us in position to get the squeeze out of us. Oh, my God. I got to squeeze out.
Got the storm,
mm-hmm.
and I went to church and was talking to this lady, and she said, "Don't pray for God to take you out the storm."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "You need to stay in the storm." She said, "Because when you come out of this storm,"
mm-hmm.
she said, "you're going to be so much better."
Mm-hmm.
And she's right. That storm I went through, I was able to go testimony to other people about that storm.
Mm-hmm.
So I praise God. I know what you're saying. You
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes he conditions us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did to me.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Because what's in us, what he put in us, it got to come out. And sometimes we don't want to just let it come out, so you got to squeeze it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got a brand new tool or toothpaste, getting the first bit out, sometimes things kind of like it don't want to come out, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's been in there for a long time. You got to mm-hmm. really squeeze it out. sometimes you got to squeeze it. Get that thing out.
I'm reminded of what she just said about going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 23rd Psalm says, "Yea, do I walk through
mm-hmm.
the valley of the shadow of death."
Mm-hmm.
And like she said, it's not God's will to get you out of the valley,
mm-hmm.
but it's for you to see him
mm-hmm.
and let him lead you out
That's
of
right.
the valley.
That's
when
right.
When I was in my valley,
I
was able to, God gave me grace to recognize the lily
mm-hmm.
that was in the belly, which was Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he led me out. It says here that we go from faith to faith.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament is saying that each victory
mm-hmm.
will help you some other victory to gain.
Mm-hmm.
God never promised us that we wouldn't have fights,
mm-hmm.
that we, a battle we wouldn't have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to be victorious, in order to win, we got to be in a fight. Mm-hmm. And God gives us the stature, the faith, the word that we can live through that fight, win that fight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through faith. Hebrews 11:6, that without faith,
mm-hmm.
it is impossible
mm-hmm.
to please God.
That's right.
But what she was going through, it increased her faith
mm-hmm.
for the next battle.
Mm-hmm.
You go through that 6 months,
mm-hmm.
2 years, some effort's going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
But what will happen, the next fight, the next battle is going to be much easier.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God has already showed
mm-hmm.
her
mm-hmm.
that he was there the first time, the
mm-hmm.
last time he did it. The next
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
she's going to be able to
mm-hmm.
illuminate that
mm-hmm.
somebody else.
Amen.
Girl, how you make it? Girl, how's your marriage and that? The reason I think there's so many Christian families divorces is because we don't let God
mm-hmm.
Work his work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give God time to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're always getting information from people who's already
mm-hmm.
been through that and
mm-hmm.
didn't come out victorious but went through it and failed.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot of people tell women, guys tell guys, I wouldn't put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, is that with me? Well, are you married now?
Oh, I just divorced.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's
been married three times now.
I'm not knocking the divorced people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married 4 years, and I'm not knocking
mm-hmm.
I've been married 54 years.
Yeah.
The people say, how you last long? It's not that. It's that do you want to be married?
Mm-hmm.
And I took some advice from some people who had been married long before,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to it. When people give you advice, listen to it. You don't have to take it,
mm-hmm.
but listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just listen. You may be somebody sitting on the street corner drinking MD-2020.
Mm-hmm.
He may be able to
tell you something.
Wait now, that same guy may be an angel. Man, it may not be MD-2020. It may be some holy rain. But it's so simple once you get saved to realize mm-hmm. if you just do what this book tells you.
You do.
But then again, we said there's a God in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're to worship him and not the true and living God.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some fights and some battles and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus didn't come to get us out of it. He came to get in there with us, show us the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason is that we can show somebody else.
That's it.
So we are his witnesses.
That's
it.
That's it.
About the world,
yeah.
How to be saved? What if somebody went over there, over Taliban, ISIS,
mm-hmm.
which has never happened because
mm-hmm.
it was written that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what if somebody went over there and showed the Taliban, the ISIS, the Ku Klux Klan, and
mm-hmm.
all the, you know, show them the love of God,
mm-hmm.
even when you were being persecuted,
uh-huh.
like oh, yeah.
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or they just stoned it up, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stephen.
Yeah. One of the Stephens. we are to be his witnesses, and people will stop drinking or smoking dope sometimes because of your testimony.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do that. You've been through that,
mm-hmm.
and they say this ain't good. This ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get to the younger people
mm-hmm.
at the right age,
yeah.
then this all this gang stuff,
mm-hmm.
this ain't nothing but a bunch of junk by what they saw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Scarface, and
mm-hmm.
I'm Denzel, and I'm
mm-hmm.
Trying to get riches
mm-hmm.
that's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And all their buddies are killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Get to that,
mm-hmm.
but then again, you got that devil that
mm-hmm.
to get that.
Yeah,
but faith from faith to faith, each victory
mm-hmm.
will help you some other victory.
Mm-hmm.
God did it for you. When God took me off that whiskey,
mm-hmm.
I knew then what he can do.
What can he do?
And from that point on, everything
Ooh.
that
came up in my life.
Good word.
If I didn't know it, I'd ask to be.
Let me tell you, and I think you want to say something too, right? Let me tell you, and I'm just saying, it seemed like to me, even when you brought, when you said something about the young people, I think part of what we are missing with the young people, we can bring in the people doing all the hip hop, and we bring in somebody doing some type of games, or they play a lot of games to try to see who God is and all of that. But I think we're missing it from the older generation going in and telling those young people where they came from. Not to say the younger generation necessarily. Don't leave that out. I'm saying that the younger generation wouldn't tell them that, hey, I used to be on dope and now I'm not. I used to drink and now I'm, you know. But the older generation that got the anointing on them to say, I was doing that. And now they're able to see that you really done came through that.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be able to see it. Let me get her, and then I'll get you. Go ahead.
I used to get upset whenever things happened in my life. I used to go run to Sally Sue and Jan asking for advice.
Yeah.
But now,
wrong thing.
God has got me in a place.
Mm-hmm.
Where when a storm comes,
mm-hmm.
I start dancing because I can't wait to see. What the end is going to be.
All right.
That's all I want to say.
All right. Yes. So you know it's going to be good,
yes,
right?
It's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm switching from what I was going to go with earlier about salt and light, but, you know, listening to the testimony that Sister Chin told of the friend and hers and the different things you come through. One of the best analogies of going through storms in the valley of the shadow of death and not being delivered from the storm on the water is the book, The Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm-hmm.
And if we've never read it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think John Bunyan, he does, I mean, the different versions of it. Even less than a month ago, just went on and watched another movie about it. I don't care if it's an animated version, cartoon version. The book, I have a couple of them still at the house. But it does tell you that because he's going to stay, he gets off track several times with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's got this burden, but he doesn't want the burden, but he's supposed to stay focused on this city of light. But everything, you know, he wants God to just remove it. But then, you know, the thing that's going to make him strong and faithful is that he gets
through
those valleys and through that death thing
mm-hmm.
and through that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an analogy, but I tell you,
mm-hmm.
The Pilgrim's Progress.
Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. is one of the best things
mm-hmm.
to help outside of the Word of God. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not the best, but. It is a good analogy of the
mm-hmm.
saints are going through something
mm-hmm.
and they want an additional read besides, you know, the Word of God. Because everything in that is in the Word of God, as Elder Davis was saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's in there, these stories about this and story, but, you know, it's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
an analogy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else? Okay.
Thank you. Is a gift,
mm-hmm.
and the gifts are without return.
Mm. Did y'all hear?
Faith is a gift, and the gifts are without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. What an awesome day. And to know that our faith is something that we can build on every day. No matter what we're going on, we're going through. And the thing is, going through is the operative word. You know, we got to stay in it. Whatever we're going through, and I think we said this last week, everything has an expiration date.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's in time. So everything has an expiration date. So even if it's the worst thing you can ever face, It has an expiration. Now, sometimes the expiration might mean you don't leave in this earth, but it still ends. But you don't end. So everything else has an expiration date. So if you're going through a situation right now, like I used to say back in the day, say maybe you're 3 days. Sunday morning comes. I'm going to get up again. I'm going to rise again. And then, so no matter what you're going through, you just got to know there's a time, there's an expiration date on it.
Yeah, that was one of the sayings of the quotes, one of the things I had for President Obama. And he was just saying there are, like, it was two things that he mentioned about war. And one of the first ones was going through a war, in a war, set an expiration date.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I've never forgot that quote, and I've set an expiration date for a lot of the things I may be teaching, you know, about relationships,
mm-hmm.
or if that's the right move. But that was one of the things he said. You don't have to stay in a war and a battle for set an expiration date.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. All hearts and minds clear? Help that man come and do the offering.
All right.
Pastor, come on, Pastor. Word. Amen. And those that are online, we want to thank you. I don't know what's happening with online, but I just want to thank everyone that, if you can hear me, thank you all for tuning in today to the Noonday Bible study here at the Light of the World. I do have the app, hopefully the square. If anyone need to use the square, I do have the square. And you can use your app, and then you can just text my number, 770-906-0607, and let me know the amount that you gave. And say it for Noonday Bible Study, and that way we'll credit it to Noonday Bible Study. If you're writing out a check, you can make it payable to the Light. Cash, you can use your envelopes. Everybody got an envelope. You can use the envelope. And we are going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you. We honor you, God. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that is here today and those that are online. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that as they give today, as we give today, that you have given back to us, stretched down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto our bosom that we might be able to give again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We see we have Brother Leon from New York on the line. If you want to say something, you are now live on the air. Brother Leon?
Here.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you. Praise God. We give all the glory to God. All the things that you were saying during the last hour and some goes into my heart. And I thank you for, hello?
Yes, sir.
Are you
yes,
there?
Sir. Yes, sir.
I thank
you
for all the honor and the glory of God and the incarnate God, the man Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. And we follow his steps each and every day because he has called us to glorify the name of the Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, we go forward. And his word is a light for my feet. A lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Just follow along the word and his promises, and you can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Hallelujah.
Not go wrong.
Amen.
Not
amen.
Wrong.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much.
God bless, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Brother Leon.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day. God bless all, too.
Good day. God bless you.